Hello, welcome to JavaScript Jam. Looks like I got my man Rishi up here with me. What's up, Rishi?
I'm good. How about you, Anthony? How's your day going?
I'm doing all right. Happy
Nice.
to have some people show up. Oh, looks like we got Scott and Bro Nifty as well. So we do got a crew here. What have you been up to recently, Rishi? I see you're shipping like usual. What are you building right now?
So I'm building LaunchFast, which is an Astro boilerplate that gives you like literally everything to launch your startup right away. From
That's
customer
right. Yeah.
support
You
to
sent that to
routes.
me and I said to take it a look. So you said customer support.
I mean, it's just an example of integrating Crisp into your website, but then there's so much that you can do with LaunchFast Astro Boilerplate. So I recently added this section where you can, have components for accepting payments or authorizing users, admin functionalities, dashboards. And there's a lot of things that you can just do with that. So I have a tweet. Can I share my tweet here? I think probably.
Yeah, go for it.
So
I'm adding a link as well just to your homepage.
sure thing. So this is just one of them. How do I? Let me post it as
Yeah, so if
comment.
you just respond to the, like on the bottom right where the little speech bubble is, then that'll get
Right.
something
That
going. And then we can
just added.
put it on the Jumbotron.
Thanks, man. So I've just added this design where I show like deployment platforms. Edge is yet to be added. So pardon me for that.
Oh, that's
But.
point. Why bother?
And then, so it comes in with Google Auth, user analytics, so post hoc, push analytics. I'll be adding simple analytics as well. And then we have Lemon Squeezy for payments, Firebase for uploading and storing documents, then sending emails using resend, and a lot of inbuilt components. And literally, you can deploy it anywhere to any Node.js platform. So, this was a weekend side project. And I think it took off nice. So, I've been building in public. Or at least learning to and generated $400 out of it till now. So yeah, I've been focusing
Really?
on marketing.
Wow. So what does it
And
cost just to get it?
just a template. So right now it's running a discount, $75 for forever access and updates.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what it is right now. But yeah, I'm soon with Next.js Conf coming in. I'll be launching a Next.js template. Don't get the secret out to anyone, okay?
Don't worry, it's just between you and me. What's up, Scott?
What's up, yo? How's it going,
Oh, the
everybody?
use.
The usual. Okay.
It's good.
What's up, Bro
Nice.
Nifty?
Hey.
Bro Nifty.
Yo.
Yeah. Launchfa.st. Right on. Rishi, this looks pretty cool, man.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I'm always inspired by how much you're hacking on the weekend. I used to do this a lot more when I had more free time.
Yeah, I'm still, I'm sitting free right now, and that's why I'm all into this. So I'm still applying and trying to find my next role.
What are you trying? Are you applying for like engineering roles? Or are you applying for like dev roles as well?
So I've, as you might know, I have worked with like different teams, so I'm up for both DevRel, specifically though, developer success engineers, but I've been applying at lately. Because that's like an intersection of customers, users, developers, and like your core product. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And I like to play along multiple verticals. So
I feel like
that makes
developer
sense to me.
relations engineer would be the type of role that you would be well suited for. So it's usually they want to lean a little more towards engineering, but also it's like kind of a dev rel thing because you're really good at just sharing what you're doing and like posting stuff, like having examples, and it's the stuff that's really, really valuable and not all dev rel people can do as consistently and quickly as someone who has a lot of experience doing it, you know?
Yeah, I'd agree. And also, like, which this probably falls, like, right in line with that, too. Pretty much the same thing, just probably worded differently. But, like, developer experience, relations engineer. Yeah.
I appreciate those kind words, Anthony. And, yeah, totally. I'm in all in for it. And I've been applying to Y Combinator startups as I see them coming up and throwing in a bunch of money to me. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Good. Yeah, I think you're right, Scott. It was developer experience engineer, I think, is the term I was looking for, not developer relations. So, yeah, you're right.
It's very similar, but yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, it's all word soup at this point.
Yeah, I know. That was like last week our conversation was.
yeah, totally.
Yeah, or even the other night when we were chatting with our Jacob. Dear friend Jacob, yeah, MG yeah. Evans.
Yeah, new DevRel person at Clerk.
Clerk, pretty cool. Yeah, senior developer experience advocate, I think was his role or something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's cool.
That's amazing. They got the whole got like a whole family over there. You got everybody over there at Clerk.
Yeah,
it's a great place. The doc lead, Rachel Neighbors, yep. She worked with directly with Dan Abramoff, I think, to make the React.dev. I think that's the story.
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh my God. That's
she was on the,
I love those.
She was on the React core team for a while, and then they were working on that for a long time. And then she left the core team, I think, when it was at like 95% complete. And then after it got actually released, she had already been kind of working at a different company. Like that was the timeline.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. She's just absolutely, yeah, that's great. It'd be great to, yes, that's fabulous.
What are you hacking on these days, Bro Nifty?
Sorry, my alarm for, my reminder alarm for JavaScript Jam went off for some reason.
Time for JavaScript Jam.
It's time for JavaScript Jam.
Nice.
Yeah. I had it set for 5 minutes or maybe 15 minutes before, and then I kept on missing because I said, oh, it's 5 minutes. And then I dismiss it. And then
just set for exactly two. Like we're pretty consistent. We usually launch right at two. So
that's true. That is
we're set for 201.
Yep.
Yeah. So I said, let me update the time to the exact time so that, I don't dismiss it and then look away. And then half an hour later, I forgot that I was engrossed in something. And then kind of absent-minded professor. What am I hacking on? I'm working on a bug that CJS and ESM bug currently. And something that is infrastructure as code in Winglang. So it's commit.
Winglang.
Yeah.
How's Winglang?
It is cool. It is amazing. It's the creator of the AWS CDK. Mm-hmm. So he made Wing. It's an abstraction that basically writes, if you make a website, an API endpoint to serve requests, like if you wanted to deploy, I don't know, Next or Remix or just a create React app or Vite on AWS directly with Terraform, it writes everything like, and you have a, maybe serve, like you have like a API requests or something serving it. That's what it'd be for, or just anything that you could deploy with Terraform. It's CDK for Terraform though. So it'll work with AWS, GCP and Azure. And then there's a local simulator. And then I think probably other clouds will be rolled out later, but anything that Terraform supports, but it's not just Terraform. It's like anything.
It's more like it's just kind of, I think it's probably aiming at AWS and then kind of like adding on providers from there. That's usually how these platforms go.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was interviewing here who then had a very public mental breakdown and never ended up working there. So he's probably not going to, but it looked like a pretty cool tool. And there's a lot of different things like it that are like going for this infrastructure as code thing. I want to see if I can get Toby up here. That'd be cool. What inspired you to try Winglang over like any of these other infrastructure as code things?
It just immediately jumped out to me as being the most direct and minimalistic solution to provide an abstraction upon CDK TF, which is what I was already working with. And like in my own just like personal free time, like I just like CDKTF a lot. It's a lot of fun. And it helps in the learning process for like you have, like I've been working with Docker since 2015 or something, but then not really so much with the actual Kubernetes deployment style. Basically, Kubernetes is like Docker, but like with replicas and some little, like they changed the style of networking a little bit. So I haven't really worked that much with it. So it's helping me kind of get more into the nuts and bolts of that. And because it's really foundational for like deploying containers and different microservices, right? So yeah. So anyway, so I was doing it my own time. And then I saw this and I said, oh, the creator of AWS CDK, who's like the foundational for IAC, is where it comes from. It's like creating this system. So, okay, well, let me just hop on that and let's see what I can see over there. And I started talking to these people and they're just amazing. Just the smartest guys that exist in this whole, like in the whole software space, in my opinion. Besides, us and the WASM people.
SST guys are pretty good too. They do a similar thing because they're building on CDK as well. And technically you said CDK is the foundation for Infra as Code. It's, CloudFormation is really more fundamental than CDK. CDK is already an AWS meta framework, along with Amplify and SAM, that all basically are like meta languages on top of CloudFormation. And technically, CloudFormation is not the first one to do it either, but that's kind of the one that everyone has to do it now because AWS CloudFormation is so ingrained and so complicated and verbose and hard to work with that you need all of these abstraction tools because CloudFormation is like assembly language for AWS.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I love this stuff, though. I think Infra as Code is, like, so, so interesting.
Yeah.
Word. Let me post our newsletter for this week. So the main topic was Solid 1.8. Bifrost, which I think is a Norwegian term. Yeah, a really epic description of what it means. It's in Norse mythology, it is a burning rainbow bridge that reaches between Midgard, which is Earth, and Asgard, which is the realm of the gods. That's pretty cool. Anyone into Norse mythology out there? I don't know anything about it, but I think this stuff is just fun. And I like when different projects have like cool names. Like I know Vue, they do anime shows and movies, like they had a One Piece release.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's cool when they have something unique to them or where they're from or, you know, where things were created or whatever. I think it's cool to be unique like that. Absolutely. And I'm sure there'll be people that can relate with it and others that just think it's neat like we do. So it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be curious. I'll have to ask Ryan who exactly picked that, if it was him who picked it. But the kind of headline things is it's setting things up for solid start and working on things like serialization, bridging server to client interactions. And now that they're in the Google Chrome Aurora project, they have benchmarks specifically for this. And they're saying that they're shifting towards a more flexible and generic serialization approach, which offers deduplication of serialized data, which benefits things like islands and recursive structures. I'm not sure what recursive structures is referring to, but I would imagine this is a lot of the stuff that would make it more competitive with something like Qwik, which is able to do really sophisticated serialization stuff. I'd be curious, Rishi, do you use Qwik or Solid Start much at all, or are you like all in on Astro right now?
Right now it's all on Astro, but I do, I've already worked with Solid Start and what was the other
Qwik
one? Qwik,
yeah.
Not worked much with Qwik, but Solid Start was easy to grasp and get started. I mean, I saw it after Remix, so like it was kind of, you know, went with the flow and it was like super easy to understand and just get started. The thing that stand out was Signals.
Right.
And that took some time to, you know, grasp, and but it was amazing with the number of render it saves. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, it seems like most people, if they're already familiar with React and then they kind of jump into Solid, they're usually pretty hyped about it and they think it's pretty cool. And the most I hear is like, you know, there's one or two things about it that are kind of counterintuitive that might be a gotcha, but as soon as you figure those out, it's pretty smooth sailing. So I'm pretty bullish on the future of things like Solid Start, especially now that they seem to have ironed out the underlying implementation going for like Nitro. And Rishi, you're actually one of the first people I saw who used Nitro. You had an Edgio Nitro demo, and so now that's becoming the underlying implementation for Solid Start. So I'm sure you probably think that's a good choice, I would assume.
Sure. I mean, we also have AnalogJSON running on Nitro, and I did develop an integration for
really?
That.
Really? I actually didn't know Analog was also using Nitro. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I developed an integration for Edge as well, so right, you should know it. But I think Nitro has a great base layer for like any framework to, you know, have Vite, have server-side routes, and the DX is amazing for having that base layer. It's like added goods on top of Vite to help you launch a framework within a day or two, I think. Yeah, AnalogJS was like amazing, amazingly built, well used on top of the Nitro servers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and I do remember you building the Analog example. I just didn't look at what the server was that it was using. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I like also just how a lot of meta frameworks, if you have like JSX and Vue and Angular and they're all using Vite and Nitro, then even though they have these different template syntaxes, there's a lot of commonalities between them. So when stuff breaks and, you know, you have to get into those underlying implementations, if you're in one or the other, you don't have to like learn a whole new build tool and a whole new server every time you have to switch from one meta framework to another. It's really nice to have these shared tools between different frameworks, I think.
Yeah, and I just added a comment from Marco Run. So I'm not sure if people are aware about it, but Marco also has their own, you know, meta application framework that's using Vite right now in production. So they might want to switch to Nitro soon.
Are you talking about Marco Run?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Marco Run, I worked with that one a little bit. And that's a pretty sweet framework as well.
I do see like a lot of frameworks coming up, but is there any framework, you know, surpassing what Next.js is doing in production right now?
I think it depends what you're looking for. Like there's ones that are maybe smaller bundles that are more performance focused and that can kind of give you better out of the box defaults around things like hydration. But, you know, in terms of market share, like no, like none of them are even close. Like Next is still the go-to for so many people.
Yeah, I definitely have to launch that template as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Astro, as Astro has added server-side rendering and stuff like that, it's really pretty competitive with what you could do with Next. Like I find if you want to slap an ORM in a database on either, it's really not that different at this point.
Yeah, but I still see, you know, moving out of Next.js from, let's say, Pages or AppDir to Astro is something big companies or someone using Next.js in production at scale might not be, you know, comfortable with that start, I think.
Yeah, there would be a certain amount of understanding how to translate one to the other.
Right.
And the components would be able to transfer pretty easily because you're still able to do JSX. It's the data fetching stuff that could be a bit complicated. But I think this is where actually like AI tools are going to be really useful for like large scale migrations. I think if it has enough training to understand what like something in Next versus Astro is, it can kind of do that translation for you really, really quickly. At least I've noticed this translate like components between React and Vue, to something that LLMs are actually particularly well suited to do. So be curious to see if any companies are going to try and do something like that.
I do remember seeing something like this from Builder.io. I think they built something which translates their code into all.
That's Mitosis.
What?
Mitosis.
Yeah, Mitosis. Yeah, correct. So, yeah, but this is not built for meta frameworks right now, is what we are aiming at.
Yeah, Mitosis is kind of like a universal representation that can go between all component syntaxes, I think is the idea. So I'm not sure how that would factor into something like a migration, but it could potentially be useful. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Word. Yeah, so that was kind of the big story of the week, was the Solid 1.8 announcement. And a couple other links we had, TanStack Query V5 came out. That's pretty exciting. This is sort of a rebranding of what was React Query. Now it's TanStack Query because it is more framework agnostic. And so that's a big release. And then also Astro 3.3, which comes with a picture component. This might be relevant to you, Rishi. I know that Astro has gone through having like an image component and then having this like experimental assets folder, and now there's the picture component. So do you know what's up with all of this?
Right, yeah, I still need to experiment with this new picture component, but sometimes I think with local images, Astro still needs to have a better DX, and there are still some open issues around it. But yeah, apart from that, optimizing it on fly is something Astro does like very smoothly. And I've been using it in It's My FII, the project that I launched at another.io. And so, yeah, there I use that functionality. And I think it does save a lot of time in, you know, getting the cutting the costs from Next image, because I'm seeing frameworks out there which, you know, aim at cost cutting Next.js images. So an in-house integration of image optimization is something like Astro has really cracked it. And yeah, definitely users should use more of it in production, I think, yeah.
Cool, yeah, for my blog, I just had, I convert all of my images just to WebP automatically. So for me, I was just like throwing regular image tags, but I do think it's cool that they have these things, especially for people who need to migrate from like Next and have these all these other fancy components to do. And I know Gatsby had one. This was something that I remember like years ago talking with Chris Burns about, and he was saying how like Next getting an image component was like such a big deal because Gatsby had this amazing image component. He was just like gushing over it, and I was like, okay, like I just use an image tag, like IMG tag.
Hey, even the primitives these days, I see. So I recently discovered that you can lazy load an iframe as well. And so what I think is the Chrome team is really working, you know, to have those primitives out for you. I think there is this SRC set that is underlying in all of these image optimizations, and that should be used like directly natively if you want to use the IMG tag directly. So that's like totally you can do it. Just use the IMG tag, ditch those image optimization components.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any news that any of you guys have seen that you're interested in, or things that have come out, or just like projects that you think are cool?
Yeah, I just put something in the comments for Pipe Dream. They just launched that today, it looks like.
Pipe Dream? Yeah, you want to talk about that?
I don't know.
Explain what it is.
It's a thing that people use. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, so Pipe Dream is a API connector like Zapier. If you've ever used that before, but it's more for the developer friendly, and really just focused on developers, because You can go in there and use Node.js and do a lot of custom stuff that you can't do in like Zapier, Zapier, whatever. So lots more use cases for folks like us developers, and some really cool things going on there with that right now. Actually, we have a podcast coming out. I don't know when. I think Anthony was working on that, but soon enough, where we actually talk with, one of the developer advocates with Pipedream, and we're discussing their new like AI stuff, and
yeah, utilizing, it was really fun.
Yeah, utilizing Puppeteer and Playwright to like be able to fill out forms and like grab you know, kind of like scrape some information and do some really cool things with. So pretty awesome. If you want to know more about that, obviously I just linked that there, if you want to put that in the Jumbotron, or I don't know if you did or yet or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, right up there. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So you can check that out. But we'll actually have some more cool insights and information on that coming out on JavaScript Jam with the podcast. So, yep.
Yeah, that was fun. I think that's going to be, for a platform like that, they have all these integrations and different ways of gluing services together. And once you have a lot of that data already, if you can kind of fine tune some models on those specific like APIs and integrations, then you can start doing these little glue code tasks that developers typically have to do to pipe one thing from one thing to another. Like you got your Discord bot that needs to, you know, forward GitHub pull requests or things like that. You know, everyone has done these kind of tasks before. So I think automating those can really unlock a lot of productivity, a lot of time saving for people who spend a lot of time doing stuff like that.
Totally. And another cool thing you can do with it is you can actually create, so when you create one of these connections per se, you can actually push it to GitHub. So you can have a repo for this particular thing, which is super cool. So then you can like kind of make it open source. Like if you come up with a really unique way of doing something and other people are like, man, I wish I had that set up. Like you could be like, you can just go and grab this and you can easily do it too. So anyway, super dope.
Yeah. Totes. Let's see, what else do we got? I found this cool website that I saw linked in a couple of newsletters called servercomponents.dev. It's kind of like how you have web.dev, this website that explains a lot of like complicated acronyms and stuff with Core Web Vitals. This is a similar thing where it's just like, you know, someone, I'm not sure who exactly, it was made by Ricardo Nunez. Not sure who that is, but it's just like a website where they explain what are React Server components and how do they work and how to dock them incrementally. I'm assuming there's going to be a lot more content they'll be creating in the future. So this is something else I linked to in the newsletter. We had some other interesting articles about hydration and WebAssembly. So check those out if those sound interesting to you. And yet, were there other topics that anyone wanted to talk about or that they saw that was interesting? I have one more about AI and ancient Greek scrolls, but I'll save that unless anyone else has anything.
Was this from your trip to Italy or something?
No. There's been a project going on for a while. Let's do a podcast about this a long time ago about these scrolls that were recovered from when there was like a volcanic eruption in Rome in like the 70s, like Mount Vesuvius exploding. And some of that is like one of the more well-known historical events in Roman history. There was a whole bunch of basically like scrolls that were covered under volcanic ash and then like, you know, preserved for thousands of years that were eventually found. And there's no way to read them because if you tried to unroll them, they would basically like disintegrate instantly because they were so fragile and they were so old and they were deeply damaged. But if you kept them just the way they were, they would stay in their current shape. So they realized that there was a way to read them by using particle accelerators that would like shoot microscopic like neutrons through it that would then be able to detect where the ink is, and then a machine learning algorithm could reverse engineer where the ink is detected to turn it back into words. This is the craziest thing ever. I know. And it just worked. A week ago they got it to work. They're able to read the words.
That is legit. Oh, that would have been cool to see the testing phase process of this whole thing and then get super excited when it started working.
Yeah, so I'm hyped. There's like hundreds of new Greek texts that we might get within the next like couple months to a year, and all of a sudden it's going to be a massive increase in like what we have. There's articles written about what could be in them, but it's all kind of speculation at this point. It could be 600 copies of the same thing, which would be very unlikely, but extremely depressing.
How funny would that be? Oh my God. That's so cool. That is dope. Oh my gosh. It's also kind of scary because if they want to like steal some documentation, that just shoot some particles through it. Or whatever the heck it is.
Well, yeah. You have to get those close enough to an actual document.
It would take probably a long time to gather the information too, I would assume, but I don't know. Or it's very fast. Who knows?
So that's the thing. I'll share a link to that. There's one of the original founders of GitHub so there's Tom Preston Warner, and then Nat Friedman was another early dude. So Nat Friedman was someone who he was putting up, I think, like $1 million or something for someone who could solve this problem, because he saw that the technology had gotten to a certain point. We're like, we're really close. We should just give like a massive financial incentive to someone who can kind of like get through that last kind of like final mile part.
And somebody solved it.
Yeah.
Who was it?
I mean, not anyone heard of. It's like a team of people who are like, you know, academics, you know. It's like a web dev several person.
Yeah, one person at $1 million.
Jason Langsdorf, I did it. It was me.
Right.
I did it on stream. You didn't see.
Oh, that would be funny. I mean, that would be amazing, really.
Okay.
Jason Langsdorf, this will support my business for a while. All right. Seed funded.
Well, they used to have this thing called, or there still is this thing called Kaggle, where they would just put data sets online for people to run machine learning things on. So this is one of the nice things. Once you have something in a specific data format, you can kind of just give it to people and be like, here, try and analyze this like huge chunk of data and just figure out what to do with it.
Yeah.
So what was the problem then? Well, the problem is like they had the data from the particle accelerators basically, but then you have to train a model on that data so I can extract what is like.
Oh, you're saying this $1 million was from that?
I'm not sure exactly which part they had the $1 million for, but I know that there's a Nature article now that explains how it's done, and I've been seeing a lot of the places that I follow have been like sharing stuff about this. So like we're at the point where the hardest part, like the part where we can actually figure out whether we can analyze the data or not, has been proven. We can turn it back into human readable text. So that was kind of like the most important, I think, thing they still had to crack. Because now it's like, all right, now we just got to get the data for all these scrolls, feed them into all these algorithms, this single algorithm, and then that will get us the text for all these. And then we'll see the individual text, we'll give it to scholars, they'll figure out what to do with it.
Right, so that was my question, I guess, was the testing process, which it sounds like that's part of the testing process, which is basically you would take like a scroll yourself, and then like you know what's written in it, and then shoot the particles at it, bring it back, get the data, and then have someone try and crack the code, and then you would know if they're right or not because you know what's already written in it, and then now you know it works, right? So then you would run it through the process with actual scrolls. But yeah, that's interesting. But then you would need to how would you replicate the scrolls as they are? You know, like, okay, let's put this in some volcanic ash real quick, and then, you know, that's interesting. I would have loved to know the details of the project. That's super cool.
Yeah, no, I'm sharing some links to it, so feel free to read those. They might go into greater detail about the way they did it.
I'm a sucker for the details.
Totally. Yeah, you should also listen to the podcast as well that Nat was on. That's
yeah,
in the that one I shared. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. They did it. AI. Awesome.
Yeah.
Open. Dude, oh, the scrolls are crazy looking. It's just like a chunk of freaking charcoal.
Exactly, yeah, because it was like a volcano, basically.
Yeah, right. I mean, that makes sense. But geez Louise. And then they're going to lose some text, though, too, because, like, the ink, it's so hot. There's no way, like, the ink survived on, like, layers, layers and layers of the outside, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Assume. I mean, I guess we'll find out as they continue to read them.
I guess so, man. That's nuts.
Yeah.
The frick. Super cool. What? Did Twitter make it to where you... Or X, whatever.
Make it to where you what?
Oh, there it goes. Never mind. For some reason, I thought it was not allowing me to open up in the browser and it's just only in X, but it must have been a weird thing that was going on.
Yeah, so that was the cool story of the day.
That one is super cool. I love that. Yeah. That I love unique things like that. That's super interesting.
Yeah, it's just like it's inspiring when science and technology solve extremely specific and weird and unexpected problems that no one would have really anticipated.
Right. That's so true. Definitely wasn't anticipated, I'm sure.
Unless you're someone who is following the process of them trying to do it, in which case this news wasn't necessarily surprising so much as like a nice, clear, like a verification that it was even possible.
Or if you drive around in a DeLorean, you probably know what's going to happen next.
You definitely saying. Know. You and Doc, you're betting on sports.
Just saying.
Sports betting.
just saying.
Yeah, it's a good way to figure out whether someone can actually tell the future or not. Like, okay, who's going to win the World Series?
Yep.
Word. Any other stories or topics people want to bring up or cool things coming up that they're excited for?
I don't know. I'm going to be hanging out with Nikki T on the 23rd live just on Twitch, chit-chatting community and stuff. And
really? You're going to be on Nikki T's stream?
Yeah.
Do you have a link for that?
Not yet. This is literally just decided that me and him were talking about the other day. So it's going to happen. Just I needed to come up with a good title and stuff. I don't know.
That's great. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Totally. Come hang out.
Oh, I will. Yeah. Next Wednesday?
The 23rd is a Monday of sorts.
On Monday. Okay.
Yep.
Word.
Yeah, he's changing the dates from Wednesdays to Mondays, by the way. I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because it interferes with something with Sauce, though. Oh, Ben Saucy.
Yeah, he does. I think I had a community thing with Becca on Wednesdays. Wednesday.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyway. That'll be fun.
Sweet.
Yeah. Anybody else? Saving? I know you're just trying to save the world. It never gets old. I mean, really.
Yeah, definitely not. You will clean your backlog with DQ.io.
Yeah.
DQ. Best way to keep your backlog clean. Software development as a subscription service. You can focus on pushing your product forward. We'll handle the extras.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, how's that job going, dude? I know you're doing like full stack everything back to engineering. 100, he says.
It is doing 100.
Yeah. Well, it's better than like, you know, 50 or 60, but I don't know if they have those numbers. So
looks like we did it. We peer pressured him up here.
We did 100 or nothing.
What's up?
Yeah.
What's up, Saban?
Hey, man.
Yeah. New jobs.
Tell us about your thing.
New jobs going well. My thing, the DQ thing.
Anything, whatever thing you got.
All the things.
Yeah. Yeah. New job's going great. Full stack development. Been deep in the code. It's been really fun. I'm actually working as we speak right now. DQ. That's something I'm trying to start I want to try a subscription-based, just backlog cleaner, basically, where people get one request at a time. They give me like a list of bugs that they don't have time to get to, but that are important, and I tackle them one at a time.
Huh, that's cool. So like freelance stuff, I guess you consider it?
Yeah.
Or is this just like open source contribution or lots of different things maybe?
Yeah, it could be lots of different things, but it's along the lines of like freelance type of work where I won't be working on mission critical like sprint work or anything, but just stuff that doesn't quite make it to sprints because it's not, you know, a new feature that the PMs want, stuff like that.
That makes sense. That's cool. I like it. So you're just giving them an easy platform to be able to submit and utilize your services without, just a friendly user experience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I've had to work with like hiring and finding contractors a lot, and it's never an easy task because you don't really know what you're going to get. So if you could just be sure that you'll have the same person doing the work and you won't have to go looking for them, that makes things easy for the company.
But then you're going to sell this to other freelancers to use, right?
No, this is just me. It's like
I'm saying you could, you could package this up.
I guess so. Yeah.
And say, yeah. Cause then you'd say X percent more likely to get hired for freelance work when you have this process because they see you as a professional in the industry and they can tell that you're serious about getting their work done because of what you have here, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I guess I could do that too, for sure.
You're welcome. Anytime. 10%. That's all I require.
10. I'm kidding. All right, we'll negotiate on the side.
No, that's awesome, dude. Thanks.
Yeah, should be fun. It's in the early phases. I've talked to a couple people, but I need to do some outreach on it. I've been so busy with some other stuff recently that I haven't been able to get to that part yet.
Totally understand.
Right on. Well, thank you for sharing. Yeah. Looks like we got Toby up here as well. What's up, Toby?
Yo, what's up? Anthony, what's up? Scott. I know a lot of people in this space as well. yeah, how are you guys doing? I was following on the amazing stuff, by the way. Sabin, sorry if I'm not pronouncing your name correctly. Well, yeah,
yes, Sabin.
You actually came up here because, yes, Sabin.
You're lagging a little bit, Toby. Last we heard was that you said you're coming up here for. Awesome. Also, Sabin, I think we can hear your typing.
I didn't come up here because I'm
typing right now.
Yeah, we might have to come back to you, man. I think it's pretty bad right now. Can't really hear anything you're saying. So.
Oh, he was right about to start saying it.
I know. It. He was like, yeah, so the reason why I came up here, no. And then it was like nothing.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, bud.
Freaking Twitter spaces.
I know. Sorry, man.
Feel free to type it in the chat. We'll pipe it up or keep trying. Let's see if we can bring him back up.
Yeah, we'll try one more time. Kick him and bring him back. So I don't know if you kick him if he can request to come back or not. Maybe just leave the stage, Toby.
Yeah, it looks like he's already bounced off and I sent him an invite.
It's not showing that on mine. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. We're in that Twitter mirror world where no one knows what's happening and everyone has different things showing up on their screen. It's a great time for everybody.
What's going on?
Word.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, well, let's we can start to wrap it up, and then while Toby's trying to figure it out, we will bring him back up or share whatever he shares. Looks like we got a request. Oh, we got a request from Abdul. Let's bring up Abdul. He looks like a person, not a bot.
Yeah, he follows me. I think he's been on here before.
Cool. So we got Toby back up as well. What's up, everybody?
So am I audible now? Or
You sound clear.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
For now, yeah.
Okay.
So quick, say what you're here for before we lose you.
See, I just wanted to be like, Anthony, like, I just saw you declined. Sorry for calling you earlier. I saw you declined this invitation for the coffee chat and stuff. Well, actually,
what?
Yeah, like
that was an accident. Then I meant to accept. I'm available, and I should have accepted it. If that was what happened, then that's incorrect. Okay. I'm switching up some of my Gmail stuff that may have been an error on my part, but I'm available. Don't worry.
Okay, awesome, no problem. Yeah, amazing work by the way, Sabine, and yeah, I was just following on the conversation on the download, and I see Rishi up here. What's up, Rishi? And yeah, what's up, everyone?
Hey, Toby, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Rishi's an amazing developer, by the way. You should check out his stuff and his stuff he builds on the side. He has amazing side projects.
Yeah, he does.
Yep, pretty dope.
Abdul, hello. Welcome to the space. Can you hear us?
Yeah, hey guys.
What's up?
Hey.
What's up? I'm fine. I'm cool as well. I'm actually just listening to what you guys are saying, actually. So, trying to catch up on what you're doing. I've not get anything, actually.
Right on. Yeah, it's always fun to get a kind of weekly hangout to see what everyone's up to. I do want to say that we're going to be doing these now every other week instead of every week. So we will be off next week, but 2 weeks from now, what is that? I guess in November, probably, you will see us again. But yeah, so then we have the upcoming episode with Pipe Dream, and we'll still be putting out weekly newsletter, so stick with the JavaScript Jam for some more content. And yeah, feel free, anyone who wants to throw out any links or final thoughts or things they want someone to look at. Going once, going twice. All right, yeah, I think we already shared pretty much everyone's project that they're working on, aside from Toby, who is, of course, on Million.js, the hottest, newest, upcoming framework that everyone is talking about. So congrats on that. Yeah, something you want to say about that?
Yeah, at the moment, I just wanted to, like, you know, give a shout-out to JavaScript Jam, because you folks are doing amazing stuff, and I really love what you and Scott, Anthony and Scott are doing. So, yeah, I think that would be my own what I say, recommendation or cool stuff to drop for the week. And I'm glad you guys are going to be the mobile spaces and moving forward. So a Million.js, we're cooking a couple of things, and a couple of things are in the pot steaming. So yeah, there'll be like some new awesome stuff released soon. And yeah, most of the things are around the moment Oktoberfest related, and yeah, yes. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Sorry for your rambling.
No, awesome, man. I appreciate that very much. So thank you. Yeah, no, it's cool. We're glad that people appreciate what we do.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right, but we do not have our closing music, so you have to fade out awkwardly. Oh, we got it. Oh my god.
Look at that, thanks guys. For joining us. Greatly appreciated. We love y'all. And we'll see you
in the next one.
All right, y'all. Peace.